This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Again, I have no tolerance for people who say, well, come on, it's just the Constitution. The court system will, in all likelihood, confirm constitutional violations that have taken place because of this executive order on every level. It doesn't matter if it's 130 people who, according to Kellyanne Conway, were inconvenienced, if it's one, or if it's 100 million. The Constitution is the law. It exists for a reason. So what do you do to protect people and still find the bad guys? Because finding the bad guys is absolutely the goal. We'll get Senator Durbin here in just a second. But first, news from the White House. The president's nominee for the Supreme Court will be announced when?
It'll be announced tomorrow live at 7 p.m. our time. Tomorrow, okay. Live, 7 p.m.
All righty then. Senator Durbin joins us. You're in town today?
I am. I'm heading back out to Washington this afternoon.
I don't know if you heard the introduction. The idea that a few people were inconvenienced, as I said earlier, inconveniences, you got to take your shoes off and take your laptop out. It's not sitting in handcuffs for 24 hours when you're legally entitled to be here.
And, Steve, we know that a lot of people were turned back. Many were denied access to airplanes to come to the United States. Some refugee families had been waiting years to get here. They've gone through several years of background checks. They had sponsors here, synagogues and churches and others who were stepping up, waiting for them to come to the airport, and it was just stopped cold. When you look at it, there are two or three things that just come immediately forward. First, the agencies were not prepared for this. They stopped people who are legal permanent residents of the United States and denied them access. Now, that they've amended the order, but it shows you they weren't thinking clearly. They didn't send down the guidelines to the agencies to make this work, even if you wanted to make it work. Secondly, you have a situation here. You said it. We want America to be safe. How many Syrian refugees have been accused of terrorism in the United States? The answer, none.
Zero.
Not one. And across the whole refugee population that we've brought in since World War II, it's just minuscule. A handful of people in the entire 30-year, 40-year history that has been reviewed. And finally, let me tell you, crossing the line here when it comes to the issue of religion is something everyone in America, whether you're a religious believer or not, ought to take extremely seriously. This is a bedrock of who we are as Americans. And to say Muslims need not apply when it comes to refugee status here, which effectively is what this does, is absolutely unacceptable.
Well, and Rudy Giuliani, there's no bigger Donald Trump supporter than Rudy Giuliani, said over the weekend on the Sunday talk shows on more than one appearance that he was asked to come up with a Muslim ban that could get through, and how do we make it legal? All the words Muslim and ban were in the sentence that came out of Rudy Giuliani's mouth. So we know this is non-constitutional. We know it's a violation of the highest order. There's very little that could be done legislatively, right? Because Trump's not going to sign a bill that says I was wrong.
And you can count on one hand the number of Republicans who've stepped up and said there's something wrong with this. I salute my two Republican colleagues, Jeff Flake and Ben Sasse, who have said that. It took guts for them to say that.
Well, but you know what? McCain and Lindsey Graham stepped up as well. Maybe not as vociferously, but they're also on board.
Point well taken. And they have been critical of the Trump operation in many other aspects as well. But here's what it gets down to, and it goes to your lead in here. We're counting on the courts. We're counting on the courts to interpret the Constitution and to save this country from being redefined in the eyes of the world today. And now we're talking about the tipping point in the U.S. Supreme Court, filling this vacancy. You know, they've called me a couple times in the White House and said, what do you think? And I said, do you know how raw feelings are in the Senate about what you have done, that Republicans have done in the last year when they wouldn't let President Obama fill this vacancy? For the first time ever in the history of the United States, first time to deny a president the opportunity to fill a vacancy. And so when you're going to send somebody to us, go out of your way to make sure this is a person who is not going to be a spark plug in controversy, someone who really can make good claim to being moderate.
Senator, I wanted to ask you, going back to the immigration ban, should we worry about the backlash now? Not so much from countries like Iraq, who, if their parliament this morning passed a similar resolution saying that Americans are not allowed to travel there, but from other countries, our allies, Britain and Germany, with both Theresa May and Angela Merkel saying that they are not in support of this.
Well, I can tell you that General Michael Hayden and David Petraeus, both known as very conservative Republicans, so forth, warned us ahead of time. When you do things like this, it just feeds the narrative of those who are recruiting terrorists around the world. And our allies, many of whom are Muslim nations, feel discouraged because, you know, their support of the United States may not be that popular at home. And here we have action taken against seven Muslim countries, dominant Muslim countries. That's not going to be lost on our enemies or our allies.
Give me a little bit of a history lesson on the Security Council. The Security Council, as I understand it, put in place by Bush 1 as a way to sort of more cohesively put together thoughts on what we should do as a defense position going forward. Those ideas then be brought back to the president. Is that still the purpose of it?
Of course it is. And this notion that Steve Bannon, who everybody knows, did serve in the military, give him credit for that, but beyond that has become the author of this Breitbart website, which takes some of the most extreme and divisive views possible, has now been dealt into a seat at the table at the highest levels of discussion about America's defense policy. You know, as much as President Obama respected David Axelrod, David never asked, and the president would never consider putting him at that high level of decision-making when it came to national security. It's worrisome. It tells you that the next step on national security, whatever it may be, is going to be one that's made with the voice of the Breitbart News at the table.
Yeah, because we know this, that Trump is very easily swayed and Steve, by the people in his inner circle, and that Steve Bannon is somebody that has his ear. He served in the Navy. That doesn't qualify him to supersede the opinion of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff or who else is missing from that table. I know that a couple were asked to stand down.
Well, the point you're getting to is one that we're thinking about all the time. Why did Dick Durbin, Democrat, vote for General Mattis to be head of Department of Defense under President Trump? Why did I vote for General Kelly to do the same under Homeland Security? Well, I respected them both in their service to our country, but I also knew they were strong, principled people. And if this president needed to hear the harsh truth, they wouldn't hesitate to give it. And if he asked them to do something that deviated from the norms in terms of standard conduct and values of America, they'd step up and leave. And I asked them point blank. And that's what worries me. When you surround this president with people who say yes or infect him with extreme views, he's likely to fall down. And I shouldn't say fall down, but he's likely to fall prey, I should say, to the ideas that are otherwise extreme.
What's going on at O'Hare today is that you're aware of. I know the mayor was out there last night. He'll join us in a few minutes.
A salute to all the volunteer lawyers, some online, some in person, standing at the airport to help worrisome travelers and their families. They're trying, but at this point, they've told me it's difficult. They don't have any official link with Customs and Border Protection Agency. And we have to find a way to make sure that when people need legal counsel and questions answered, they have access. That's what's going on. I'm headed out to Washington to see what we can do at that level.
And is the best thing for people listening who are fired up about this to pick up their phone and hit the email and say, look, I put you in Congress. I won't support you again if you support this policy?
That's what democracy is all about. If you believe very strongly in an issue, you know, you can express your feelings in a peaceful, nonviolent way, exercising free speech, but be sure and let that member of Congress of either political party know where you stand.
All right. I know you're running late, and we are as well, so we'll let you go on that. Thank you, Senator.
Thanks, Steve.
That's Senator Dick Durbin, who is headed back to Washington. Again, the Supreme Court nomination will be announced when?
It's going to be announced live by President Trump tomorrow at 7 p.m. our time, 8 o'clock Eastern.
Could he pick the show that has all three judges? Could he pick all three of them, just let them rotate? What's it called, Hot Bench?
To tell the truth.
Hot Bench. Hot Bench. Could he pick the Hot Bench judges?
Yeah.
7:58, Mayor Emanuel coming up. By the way, any number of Republican invitees this morning who were invited to come on for whatever reason weren't available, including members of the Trump administration. And Mike Madigan's been invited again. This is show number 829. That's 829 shows where he has turned us down. It's a minute before 8 on 720 WGN.